You're listening to oneofus.net.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
See, back in my day, you got a H. John Benjamin voicing characters like Coach McGurk and a can of beans in your movies and TV shows. But nowadays, he's just voicing anything left and right just because he has a good voice. I think he has a good voice. I know he does, you know, Archer for the past 50 years, it seems like. But
it feels like Archer is the reason he got this gig in the first place.
Yeah, sure. I mean, he's gotten tons of gigs since he... I mean, I guess from the early 2000s when he was first noticed because of his voice, and now he's like Bob's Burgers and everything else. You're just like, man, you're everywhere. And it's funny, I've never thought that he had like the best voice, but it ends up becoming a great voice. This movie, Boy Kills World, I have thoughts and I don't know. But with me to talk about the new film, Boy Kills World, I have Mike.
Hello.
And I have Drew.
Hello.
So, Boy Kills World is this new post-apocalyptic, you know, just fever dream of an action movie that really wants to lean in the hardcore crazy violence, like with movies like, you know, The Raid and John Wick movies. And this is a story about Boy, that's his name, where as a child, his family was murdered by the evil... Vanderkoy family that basically rules this city. Everything's a little bit vague, and they're just like, you just need to know this. This evil family, like a monarchy, rules the city. They will, once a year, they'll round up people that are like basically, you know, poverty-stricken people for the culling, basically to rid the leader of the Vanderkoys, played by Famke Janssen, Hilda Vanderkoy. Basically trying to find all of her, you know, people plotting against her, like, just, you know, revolutionary types. And Boy's family was killed in the aftermath, and he was then left for dead. And a shaman, played by, Yayan, Ruin, who was one of the leads in The Raid, finds him, trains him to become an ultimate badass. And of course he grows to be this young, handsome man, Bill Skarsgård, who plays Boy as an adult. And thus begins his journey to enact vengeance on the Vanderkoy family. But the twist is that Boy is actually deaf and mute. And so he is constantly visioning his younger sister who was killed in the by the family. And, you know, accompanying him on his journey through vengeance. Trying to, you know, basically kill all the different family members. But I'd love to know what Drew and Mike thought about this, because I... have thoughts. I will just say this. I really wanted to like it more.
Oh, me too.
And it didn't deliver all the way for me. But Drew, how about you? What are your thoughts about Boy Kills World?
Yeah, just, I mean, it's definitely a movie that seems like it would be up our alley, but maybe it's something that would have been, that we would have been into, you know, 10 years ago, or it just doesn't really offer anything new. There's still some good action in it, but it also seems like it's choreographed by, you know, you've seen a lot of that choreography before. It's not really offering anything new. So for an action film, if the action scenes aren't that riveting, you know, then why are you watching? And I also think they should really, like mentioning H. John Benjamin, I think they should really be leaning into that more. The fact that I think there's a lot of people, animated fans, that would want to like see this movie more or be more interested in it just because it's the voice of Archer or it's the voice, you know,
right,
the voice of Bob and Bob's.
That's kind of the main reason I signed up for it, because I'm a John Benjamin fan. I loved Archer for the most part, and you know, I've been a huge fan of him since Home Movies.
Right.
And I think that the crazy thing about him is that he looks the exact opposite of an action hero, but he's got a voice that could be used for that. And so, I mean, that's why Archer worked as well as it did. And I think that's why I was really intrigued by the idea of having him be, like, the internal voice for Boy. Right. Just, like, because really it was just, like, the voice of a video game that he remembers playing.
Yeah, yeah. It's he and his sister, because they had such a strong bond from his memories that he had of her. When they were younger and they, you know, go off and they, you know, flick off together. They had a special way to, you know, show their middle finger to this like statue of the Vanderkoys, and they'd play video games together, like sneak off and do that. And like, yeah, the voice of the Mortal Kombat game was basically H. John Benjamin. And it was like, that's the only voice I can remember. And it's like, that's his internal voice. And I heard that when they screened this for the first time, that it was initially Bill Skarsgård's voice as the internal voice in the film, which I'm like, ooh, okay. And then they replaced it with H. John Benjamin. I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with his voice, and also it would, you know, match because it is him. But I get the connection with the video game and blah, blah, blah. But I agree that the action isn't as... You know, it's not a crazy wow factor that it's adding anything new at all, really, in the end. And man, some of the way that it's shot as well is like, I know it's happened the past, like, say, 10 years, but it feels like when filmmakers like, we got our hands on a drone, let's fucking use it. And they use it like crazy in this. Yeah. And it's just like, we saw ambulance, let's just do that, like, all the time, but in corridors. And like, ugh, okay. Like, it just seems so unnatural. And it kind of ruins the flow of the scene, too, a lot of times.
I was really hoping it'd be a lot flashier than it ended up being. Like, I don't know, there's just something about those missing that I really thought we'd get out of it. Like, I know this guy didn't have a very good year, but, like, kind of like the best works of Matthew Vaughn, that's kind of was what I was expecting out of it, and we didn't quite get that. I was thinking, like, it looked like early Matthew Vaughn movies, like, I mean, like, 2000s or so, to, mixed with John Wick, and it wasn't quite that. I don't know, I mean, I think I just don't really know what... I can't really place on what exactly was missing about it. I think, yeah, the drone stuff was maybe not quite what they should have done with it. But yeah, I just can't really place what exactly was missing from it that I really wanted.
I don't know if you guys would agree with me, but a lot of it, I think, is also... I mean, this is a first-time director, by the way, director Moritz Moore, for a feature film, at least. And... I think the script is a little weak, because I mean it's a very just hero's journey sort of setup. I mean, that's all it is, and so nothing new really there. You get a couple of twists and turns towards the end, which I thought was like, okay. I mean, I kind of saw it like a mile away, but we're introduced to, you know, other characters. One played by Jessica Routh. Who was Happy Death Day. She's incredible. I love her to pieces. And she got like shredded for this movie too. And she is like this ultimate badass assassin for the Vanderkoys. And she has this really funny, like, you know, motorcycle helmet that has like little LED lights coming up.
I love that element. I loved the helmet that was just always an LED thing, just kind of saying like her catchphrases basically.
Yeah, yeah.
It was very Daft Punk.
Yes, for yes. Sure. And she's like a henchman for the Vanderkoys, so she and a Boy get into some fights, or her name is June 27. But you got like Brett Gelman, who plays one of the sons of, I guess he's the son of Famke Janssen, which I'm like, okay. And you got Michelle Dockery, who plays Melanie, another, like a sister, and her husband, Charlotte Copley, who is in everything this year, it seems like, is just like one-off little characters.
It is really, really, there's like a Charlto effect happening where it's like Curb Your Enthusiasm and a bunch of like strange little cameos that he's doing. Right. And I love him, but it's just bizarre.
Yeah. It's the third thing this year I reviewed with him in it, because he was in Monkey Man, he was in Curb Your Enthusiasm, right. And that was in this.
Yeah, but I think the script is a little lacking, and then also the tone. I think that it is oscillating so rapidly from, you know, hardcore action to comedy in some ways. Well, it's trying to lean into a comedy, but then it has very serious things that are happening too. And I don't think it just understood its tone enough. And it leads me to believe like that what they really wanted to move towards was more of this, you know, sarcastic comedy, like dark comedy sort of leaning. But then there are sometimes like, no, you know, pay attention here. This is a very serious subject between a boy and his sister. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. We expected maybe a little bit more humor considering, again, it's John Benjamin doing the voice. I thought that would have...
Right, right.
I think that might have been part of what was missing from it. It was just like, yeah, it didn't have quite the comical wit that I would expect from something to have him attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right. What you're saying about, like, with Bill Sarsgaard, if that was originally his voiceover, and then they basically just got John Benjamin to do the same lines and try to make it funny, that doesn't really work. I mean, you need to kind of... I don't know how much they rewrote, if anything.
Right.
I would say that maybe it was relatively late in the process. So maybe John Benjamin just kind of said Bill Sarsgaard's lines, yeah, and was trying, yeah, to make it funny, and it doesn't come off as funny.
No, I think like to both of y'all's points, like where he was coming from, like, and you know, John Benjamin being a comedian and normally doing comedies, at least for voiceover stuff.
And I'm all for him like spreading his wings and trying different things. I'm absolutely all for it.
Sure, but that's why they would. I'm assuming why they hired him for it is that like, oh, he'll just naturally make it funny. I'm like, hold on, like there's also another thing called a script, and like the use of it, and like the reasoning behind it, and it's a very, you know, kind of funny. Like, oh, it's a voice from a video game, but that's still like connected to a very serious memory for the character with sharing this moment with his sister who's now dead. Like, I don't know if you like really executed on that very well.
Yeah.
It's not based on a graphic novel, is it? Because it feels like it is.
That's the thing. It felt very comic booky.
Yeah, I don't believe so. Because I even like towards the end or during the end credit sequence. It's based actually on a short film that they all wrote together. Okay. Oh, okay. Had like, you know, comic stills of all the characters being, you know, badasses and stuff in the ending credit scene.
It felt like it just would have done better as a comic book before a movie.
But I also say the pacing too, it felt oddly long at times where, I mean, it was nearly like, I think it was like an hour and 45 or something like that, nearly 2 hours. And like, man, there are a couple of parts towards the middle and even getting towards the end is like, it was dragging. I know it sounds like we're just like kind of shitting all over this now, but it was just like,
well, that's okay.
Yeah. It's like, oh man. Like it. Yeah. It's like, come on, let's fucking go. And, it was funny. I was like, I almost was just kind of resigning to the idea. Like, I just want to see him fucking kill people. Come on.
Yeah.
I get it. He is trying to enact vengeance. I got it. Let's go. Move on.
And I wonder, I mean, if you know, maybe we've seen a lot of action films like this, but somebody that hasn't, you know, that's watching it now could be into it and it can feel fresh. I mean, maybe if this movie would have come out around those times, it would have felt, you know, like, you know, not as generic as it feels now. It just feels like it's a little overplayed now. And that's, I think that's what happens with the action genre now. It's like when it's trying to look fresh and it's not, it looks way more dated. And I think that's kind of the problem with this movie for me.
Yeah, it's like a little late to the party sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I don't know what else we could really talk about. I mean,
I like Bill Sarsgaard a lot, but I mean, I'm not more excited to see The Crow after this.
Oh, God, The Crow. yeah, I mean, he's fine in it. I mean, I think a lot of it is coming from, I mean, it's a silent role, but his, like his physical presence and like his physical acting is really good. I mean, he's always been, it seems like pretty good at action anyway. He just has the body, just won't quit kind of thing. And again, I think Jessica Roth is great. And, he does, acquire some buddies as he moves along with, Isaiah Mustafa plays, it was a very weird choice. He's the guy. He's the Old Spice commercial guy. He plays Benny, who I don't know why they did this because the boy can at least read lips, And this character, for some reason, was just speaking in gibberish the entire time. And his only other friend, Basho, who plays Andrew Koshy, plays Basho. He's like just a motor mouth kind of guy. He can understand Benny, but boy's kind of like, I think I understood. Like, I don't know, tomatoes, something.
Yeah, that was one of the funny parts that there was, like, we're hearing from boy's perspective what this guy is saying, but it's like just complete nonsense.
Yeah, and that's kind of it. And Famke Janssen's in it for a minute. She plays the, you know, final boss sort of character, and
she's fine. Yeah.
She's fine. I mean, everyone is just kind of fine in the end, and it's just like Lee's just kind of like, all right, this didn't really make that much of an impression.
Exactly. That's the thing about it. It's like the movie is just fine, but it's nothing that really knocks your socks off as an action movie.
No. Well, let's go into final thoughts then. So, Drew, why don't you lead the way?
I mean, yeah, I mean, if you want to put this on during you know, when a party's happening or something, and you're making dinner, and somebody wants to, you know, pop the kids in front of the TV, I think people will be into it. I think this movie to me feels like, you know, at some point Bill Sarsgaard's agents kind of sat down with them, or, you know, or a lot of lunch meetings, and said, hey, like, you need to be an action star. We need to kind of appeal to these different quadrants. And I think that's what he's doing. And it also feels like a movie that's really made for international audiences. I don't know, like, I mean, you have a German filmmaker, you know, Moritz Mohr, who's so maybe that sensibility didn't quite translate to, you know, having like a really visceral action film here. But maybe, you know, I don't think it's going to go very, very far. But I think maybe VOD in other countries, something. It's got a great title. You know, I think Bill Sarsgaard's kind of a name. You know, they're going to be like, oh, the guy that was a clown is in an action movie.
You could say he has that it factor.
He does have the it factor.
You're quick clowning, right?
Yeah, but I mean, after this comes out, and after The Crow comes out, I don't think you're going to see Bill Sarsgaard being in too many more action movies. I think he'll go on to, you know, much better, more interesting roles for him. But it's nice to scratch that itch. And I think, look, if I was an actor in his place right now, I would love to get in shape and go kick some ass and do a movie like this. I'm sure it was a lot of fun.
Sure,
It just didn't translate for me, you know, personally. Just it just feels like I'd seen it before, and it was just kind of a mashup of things that I'd seen before. So I don't give it, you know, 5 out of 10 kicks to the head.
Yeah. Mike?
Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of the right ingredients were there. It looked very interesting. I saw the trailer I thought that this looks like it could be a lot of fun. But really, it's just a movie that exists. It didn't really quite deliver on what I was really hoping for. But the thing is, the biggest problem is, it's just fine. Yeah. There's nothing about it that really is awful. It's nothing about it that, at least to me, there's nothing about that really makes me angry or upset watching it. But it's something that exists. It just does what it needs to do. And everything that looks like it would be what would make it exceptional or a stand-up movie just doesn't pay off like it should. And I was excited to see, like, you know, John Benjamin take on something this different and interesting. But I don't know, maybe it's just the sardonic tone of that voice. It didn't suit the dialogue that was given. Mm-hmm. And that is a little bit of a disconnect there. I was expecting like a movie equivalent of a video game. I was thinking like, you know, like what Kick-Ass and Kingsman, the original Kingsman had given us and things like that.
Yeah.
Or the John Wick movies. And it didn't quite do that, although I think it really wanted to. There's a few moments of pretty interesting cinematography, and I think the cast does well for the most part with what's given to them. But it's ultimately, in this whole pantheon of like action movies that are like dystopian and all that, it's gonna be a footnote in the whole thing. I'm gonna give it 5.5 out of 10 game tokens.
I think we said it all before already. You guys said it better than I could, but it feels like kind of late to the action party. And I saw where the story was going pretty much a mile away, and or just like you already know like the beats it's going to hit, and like throw in one little twist and you're like, oh, okay. I mean, the extra twist, not the first, which I'm like, yeah, duh. Like you said, Mike, everyone's fine. I think that you know, a tighter script, maybe a cut of like 15, 20 minutes out of the damn thing. I think it could have been at least the pacing would have kept me going, but I just ultimately was becoming bored, which is strange sometimes, especially for like an action movie that's marketed as the fucking craziest action movie ever. I'm like, okay, yeah, calm down. So I'm going to give it 5 out of 10 times I wish I was watching John Wick instead.
That's the thing, like John Wick kind of ruined action movies.
Yeah, fuck you, John Wick.
Yeah.